Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, you guys should know the drill by now. We do this every we've been doing this every other night. So, are you guys ready? All right. I've been seeing y'all practice it. Okay, so can we do it? Can we do it a little faster tonight? Can we do it a little faster tonight? Okay. The ones who got rhythm, all right? Yeah. As always, you know, we got to start slow for maybe those who still haven't caught up. So, all right, ready? One, two, three. Boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, clap, snap, boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, shh. Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You guys are starting to catch on. All right, you want to speed? You just want to get straight to it? Yeah, you're ready straight to it? Ewan's not ready for it. You ain't ready for it, Ewan? You ain't ready for it? Okay, all right. Hey, let's speed up. Ready? One, two, three. Boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, clap, snap, boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, shh. All right, let's go three, all right? Ready? One, two, three. Boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, clap, snap, boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, shh. Boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, clap, snap, boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, shh. Boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, clap, snap, boom, snap, clap, boom, snap, shh. Give it up, guys. All right. There we go. I love it, guys. And you guys know every night, the tradition, you got to give it back out for the worship team because they killed it up here, guys. Give it up for the worship team. Come on now. So we've been running through the book of James all week. And just to give you guys, as always, like to give you guys a recap, that the book of James, it challenges our genuineness, our authenticity to how we are to behave as believers. That not only are we called to have faith, but we are to accompany that faith with our works, with our deeds. Because when we show it, then it reinforces and gives us proof of what we believe. This morning, we started in chapter 4, and we were talking about this idea of submitting ourselves to God. And I feel like that aligned in correlation with what we were talking about the night before, which was discerning the difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And so tonight, as we continue to move forward, we're going to wrap up chapter 4 and also start to introduce chapter 5. But before we hop into it, I need some help. So who here is bold? Who's got a loud voice? Who can help me out? And specifically, communicate. Let's see. All right. Yes. No, right here. You're not even raising your hand. I want. Yes, you. Yes, you. Gum. Yes. No, you. No, you. I want you. Yes, I want you. Okay. Stand up for me. So tell everyone your name. All right, this is Melody. Give it up for Melody. Okay, so, because I've had conversations with you in the past, you have a voice, and so I feel like you can help me with this, okay? So my question I have for you is, what is, after you leave here, what's your plans? What's something that you have in the near distant future that you would aspire to do? So think big. Like, I feel like people have asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would be that response for you?
I don't know.
Okay, you're 12. All right. How about this? Then does anybody know what they think they want to do when they get older? How about that? All right. Oh, she does? She does? All right. Stand up. All right, what's your name?
Kay.
Everyone say hi, Kay. All right, Kay, I got a question for you. So what are your plans? What do you want to be when you grow up? She wants to be a doctor. She wants to be a doctor, guys. And what kind of doctor do you think you want to be?
An OBGYN.
An OBGYN doctor? That is amazing. You want to deliver babies? Yeah? So my wife actually is a NICU nurse. And so she works with all the babies once they're born. So that's pretty fantastic. Do you have a plan in mind on how you're going to get there? Grace College? Okay. Where are my Grace people at? Okay. I like it. Now, are you certain, like, of this plan? Are you positive? No? Why aren't you positive? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how positive are you?
Uh,
Like a 7? 7's pretty good. What is that, like a C? That's a C, right? That's C average, maybe? Maybe? Okay, yeah, 75% is the average. Okay, all right, awesome. Thank you. So you're committed to this idea of going and being a doctor, right? And you're like, all right, I got it planned out. I think I know exactly the college I'm going to go to, and you're certain that that's what you want to do. Okay, I love it. Hey guys, give it up for Kay. Guys, give it up for Kay. Give it up for Kay. Is anybody else? Hey, what about my guys? What about my guys? How about this? I'm gonna go with my leader right here. Action, Max. Let's go. So, everyone, this is Max. Say hi. So Max, how about you? So, you're a little older than Kay. Hopefully, So maybe you have do you have an idea of what you plan on doing? What do you want to do? What's the plan?
I want to go to the Amazon rainforest and reach uncontacted tribes.
Okay. That's very specific. Give it up for Max, all right? And so Max, do you have a plan?
Yes.
And how certain are you that you're going to achieve this plan? Scale of 1 to 10.
Give it a 6.82. Because I feel like the Lord keeps putting it in front of me. And then this year, since I moved to Michigan, I've met some people that know the people that own a ministry in the Amazon. I met them randomly at my church. So I feel like God's been putting it in front of me. Because I've been wanting to do this for 2 years. And then I moved here to intern at this camp. And then, I met this random guy in my church. And he's like, I literally know people that own a ministry in the Amazon. I could get you there by the end of the year if you wanted to. So I feel like God keeps putting it in front of me. So if it's the Lord's will.
Come on now, let's go. Give it up for Max, guys. Give it up for Max. Let's go. Appreciate you. So the reason I want to ask that question is, I feel like often, because tonight we're going to be talking about this idea of plans and where we're going. Some of you, and I love the response over here. She's like, I'm 12. I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's the most honest answer I can think of. I feel like even with myself, while I'm glad that I'm a pastor, I'm glad I get to speak, I think there are still things that God has yet to reveal in my life. And so understanding, I feel you in a sense of like, you know what? We're figuring it out. We're getting it going. And Kay, I love your honesty, and I love the fact that you know where you're gonna go. You know Grace College is the place. You are on your way. You're on your way, right? And then my boy Max, I just love the specificness of just where you feel God is directing you and calling your steps. And specifically, the reason why I ask how confident we feel in that is I want to encourage you guys to be thinking of those things that God is calling you to do. We've been talking about this idea of submission earlier today, right? Part of submission to God's will, to God's plan for you, is also to understand when to say yes and when to say no to certain things on your path. And so tonight, as we continue and wrap up in chapter 4, we're going to be walking through this idea of what it looks like to boast in our own plans, and also what it looks like to respond and bring God into our plans. And I think often we tend to make plans without considering a couple things. First off, location. Right now, maybe you guys have specific plans of what you want to be when you grow up, and maybe that requires to be in a specific spot, right? And who knows if God is going to take you there. Other things, it might be a change in perspective. Maybe as you get older, you begin to learn about the career, and then you realize, man, that I don't feel like that's my passion. Or maybe you learn how I learned when I was younger that I was not gifted to be an engineer because math and science is hard. So maybe you're like me where you begin to learn a life lesson on just the fact that I've realized that I'm not built that way, that God did not give me that set of giftings. In other ways, it might be the relationships in this current season. Maybe there's a shift in your family. Maybe something happens with a friend and it encourages you to go pursue something different. I know when I was working in insurance, some people moved in that direction simply because they had a family member that passed without insurance, and then therefore they wanted to go into insurance to make sure other people didn't experience that. Those are some ways that we can change our passion, change our plan. But I think the one thing that we tend to leave out often is the consideration of what if God is pushing me and moving me in a different direction. So tonight, we're gonna talk about that here at the end of this chapter. And one thing that I have done this year. So how many of you guys had a New Year's resolution, or maybe you know someone who had a New Year's resolution? Yeah. So I guess you can say one of my New Year's resolutions, it came through my staff at the church. They were encouraging us, and they asked the question, this year, how do you want to develop and how do you want to grow as a leader, both in the church as well as in your day-to-day life? And for me, one thing that I value in a great leader is their ability to make decisions. And not just make decisions, but steward them well. Like be able to weigh the pros and cons and really understand the benefits of both to help not only themselves, but also their team move forward. And so this year, I made it an objective point for me to not only make better decisions, but also to pre-plan and pre-decide and make them faster. This year, I feel like you guys know the term like full send. I feel like I'm the definition of full send this year. I've just been, creating new ideas, and luckily the church hasn't fired me yet, so we must be doing okay, all right? But I've been making these decisions, and I've been really enjoying the process of getting better at it, but the temptation that we have when we make decisions too abruptly is that when we plan on our own, we forget to include the ultimate planner. We forget to include God in the midst of it. And actually, I was reading a statistic. It says 96% of people rely on making their own decisions based off of their own personal research. So they don't, basically what that is saying is that a majority of us make our decisions based off of the things that we look up, the things that we research, the things that we find, not any other external sources. And specifically, what do you guys think? Where do you think we find most of our information? I hear you. Okay, so now we're in a generation of, like, I love it. Yeah, YouTube. In fact, fun fact, my grandpa actually uses YouTube now to learn how to cut trees better. Like, it's crazy. It is absolutely insane. Everything's on YouTube nowadays. But the other one is, yes, the internet, and specifically Google. We use Google so much that the word Google has become a verb. Just Google it. Like, it really has been. And so, here's the sad part. Only 4% of people, of that 96%, actually use their faith, they use their beliefs to dictate or control their decisions. And here's the thing. I don't know the stat of how many those who believe in Jesus. This is just the broad scheme of all beliefs. And as I was looking at that, it got me thinking of, man, like for a country that claims to be Christian, that claims to hold the morals and principles of Jesus Christ, it's amazing that we lack the ability to bring God into our everyday decisions. So we're going to be reading, like I mentioned, in James 4:13, and the one thing that I like about this is it's going to reveal a couple things. First off, it's gonna help us understand what it looks like to not bring God into our plans, and I believe James reveals this in two different ways. So as we have been in beautiful fashion, I want us to posture ourselves and refocus through prayer. So shall we pray? Dearly Father, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word. Make me a vessel and help these youth understand, Lord, that you are the ultimate planner, that you have and prepared great things for them if they would just submit and acknowledge you as the ultimate designer, as the ultimate lover, and just open their eyes to see and appreciate what it looks like to give you control. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, guys, we are reading in James 4, and we're going to start by reading first off 13 through 16, and then we'll close it out with 17, and you'll also get a little taste of chapter 5 tonight as well. So as I've been encouraging you guys this week, again, we're covering a lot of scripture. So my encouragement is as you are reading with me, as you're reading along through tonight, as you're reading your devotionals, take some time as you read the message and you see certain words, certain sentences, certain scripture pop off the page, I want you to immediately highlight those and take those questions into your devo time. So again, James chapter 4, verse 13, and it reads, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil." And so we see James giving us, again, some hard truths for us to swallow in this idea that our lives are not our own. That there's a level of control that we need to give up. And through our sin, through our own insecurities, it's hard for us to give that. And so one thing that I just want to say, first and foremost, James is talking about this idea of planning without God. And I think too often we create plans with so much certainty without assuming the plans will change. And I think, you know, when the plans do change, I don't know how often, like, I know that when I started telling people about my dreams and the things that I wanted to do, I told everybody. I'm a talker. And when I told everybody, and then I started to notice that I wasn't too gifted in those areas, instead of saying, hey, you know what, I think my plans have changed, I held on a little harder. I tried a little harder, and I tried to force it. And I think this comes from a couple different reasons. First and foremost, I think it comes from our own personal pride. I think it comes from the insecurity that maybe we were wrong, that maybe we aren't good at the thing that we were called to do or that we thought we were called to do. And I think additionally, not only does it feed on our pride, but I think it's also this idea of our own just personal insecurity that we wish and we desire to be in that space. So you guys have learned a little bit about me this week on this, you know, especially in the past couple days, on how initially my desire growing up was to find a job that was going to make a lot of money. Because once I had the money, then I could have the ministry. Once I had the funding, I could then go and give as much as I want. But as I got older and started to realize that there was no true joy in just simply having things, God began to shift my perspective. He started to redirect my plans. But the thing about it is that if we are not willing to submit to it, then we're never going to let it go. It has to come from inside of us to make that decision. And one thing that I had within all of those plans was high expectations for myself, for the job. And what I've learned is high expectations for our own plans tend to blur the way we see our plans, especially when we boast in them. Because when we're bragging, when we're boasting, when we're arrogant about it, now there's that extra pressure to perform. But here's the thing, this pressure doesn't come from God. God is not calling you to be something that you are not. He's calling you to lean into his purpose. And when we plan without God, it's not really planning at all. It's just that pressure. God doesn't need you to be right. He doesn't need you to be correct. And oh my gosh, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a pilot. I'm going to own a bunch of houses when I get older. I'm going to make a ton of money. What he wants is he wants you, and he wants you to live out the purpose that he's already pre-planned for you. And the second part in that, as you continue on in James to verse 17, it says, If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. And when I read that, you know, I think back to a question that one of my leaders actually asked me while we were here on camp. And the question that she asked me, she said, you know, when did you know you wanted to be a pastor? And, or you know, I think that that's a question that I get often is, hey, when did you figure out that you wanted to go into ministry? And my initial response to her was that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that I wanted to be in ministry. I didn't know that I was called to ministry. And as I reflected on my answer to her, I realized that that wasn't true. I realized that at a very young age, God was already sowing seeds in my heart, in my mind, and with the people around me, that this is a calling that, that I am destined for. The issue that I had was I was too preoccupied with what the world could offer that I would not lean into what God has already provided. And so I just want to share with you, again, I just want to read that. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So in my disobedience to not hear the call, even though I knew the plan, because here's the thing, God, he will make it straight. He will make it clear. He will show you through people, places, and things, through your skills, through the things that you enjoy, because he wants you to love the work that you do. And if we sit back and ignore the things that we have been called forth to do, that is also sin. Because you got to acknowledge the fact that in that we are disobeying our Heavenly Father. And so just to kind of give you guys, again, another glimpse into my life as an example of that, because I feel like the book of James is written specifically for me when it comes to how often I miss the mark. And specifically this chapter, these verses on this idea that my plans are not my own. So that question of when did you know you wanted to be a pastor, I knew at a very young age, and I was encouraged. I had a pastor who every week he would pour into me. Every week he would tell me, hey, you know, I just want to let you know that these are your giftings. I want to let you know that maybe you're still confused, maybe you don't know where you want to be at, but I see you preaching to other people in the future. I see you discipling other people in the future. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, like, you know, like, I'll do that, like, you know, as a job when I retire, but I'm not going to do it when I'm in my 20s. In my 20s is when you're supposed to work hard. In my 20s is when you're supposed to collect as much as you can. In your 20s, as I mentioned this morning, you are supposed to get everything that you desire by any means necessary. And by saying those things, I was compromising the gift that God was wait for me to receive. And so, fast forward, I did follow in my own personal path. I was still part-time in ministry, but my focus was fully on collecting, getting, more. And that was my plan. It was like, I'm just going to make as much as I can. I'm going to do as much as I can. I'm going to enjoy all the pleasures of this world as much as I can. And then when I'm ready, then I'll make the decision. And the funny thing about that is when you begin to see God working in your life, you know how I talked about that difference between godly wisdom and human wisdom, and how just God is so set apart from the world that he makes it obnoxiously clear the choices that we're supposed to make, the things that we shouldn't be consuming, the things that we shouldn't be pursuing, and yet our own selfish ambition we still do. So he started revealing some things in me personally. The first thing is if there's one thing that the Lord has blessed me with, is he has given me a lot of joy. If there's one fruit of the Spirit that he's given me, I have a lot of joy. It doesn't matter what situation I'm in, the Lord has given me that joy, and I'm so blessed for that. And one thing that I noticed as I started moving further away from God's plan and closer to mine, I started to lose my joy. I started to become depressed. I started to become anxious. I started to start thinking about what other people thought of me. I needed certain things to feel validated. I needed certain people in my life to say specific things, all because I was moving down a route that God did not call me to. And it wasn't until, you know, I met my wife and, you know, we started going to City Church. We started having a, you know, we started having a change of heart. I started thinking about, you know, maybe this ministry thing could be it, but yet I was still working. I was still working in the corporate world. I was doing all the corporate things. And I did get offered. I got offered a lead pastor role. And I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. Like, this must be like, this is going to be my turning point. I'm just going to take that job and it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. That must be God's plan for me. And I sat down and had the conversation with my wife, Lauren. And I think I've told you guys before that she is a rock star. She is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me beyond just giving my life to Christ. And in the midst of that, when I told her about the offer, she wasn't, you know, I thought she was going to be happy. I thought that she was going to have joy, just how I was having joy. But instead of happiness, she started weeping. She started crying. And I was, at this point, completely confused. I was like, God, I thought that your plan was for me to be in ministry. All these people over here told me that I was going to be in ministry. And now I have the person who is one of the most important people in my life telling me that I shouldn't take this position. And so maybe some of you guys are, you know, maybe you're in that situation, or maybe you've been in that situation where you thought you were moving down the right path, and whether it was your parents, whether it was a coach, whether it was a friend, somebody for some reason said, hey, I don't think you should do that. I don't think that that's the path that God has you on. I think you need to redirect. I think you need to reflect on if you're actually hearing from God, if you're actually leaning into his word. And so I ended up not taking the job. I stayed where I was at, and then I went to church. I was kind of fed up now at this point with ministry. I said, Lord, you are going to have to make it obnoxiously clear that this is what you want for me. And so me and my wife, we ended up actually moving down to Indianapolis. I ended up taking a year off from ministry because I realized that I needed to be more in his presence instead of just simply doing ministry. I needed to be with him because I'm no good. We're no good if we aren't acknowledging and actually abiding in him. And so within that year, I came across City Church and the lead pastor there, he reached out to me. He told me, hey, there's this youth pastor role, this young adult pastor role that we think that you might be a great fit for. And granted, and here's the thing, me and my wife just moved down to Indianapolis at this time. Fort Wayne's 2.5 hours away, and we're unloading boxes. And I messaged him back. I said, hey, thank you for the opportunity, but the answer is no. I'm not going to do it. I need to take some time to truly be in the presence of God and hear what he has to say. I was like, call me in a year. If in a year, you know, that'll be great. Just call me in a year. I was like, if you actually really want this, if this is what it needs to be, call me in a year. Guess what he did? He called me in a year. He called me in a year. So he calls me, and I am, at this point, I'm shook. I don't know why he's calling me, and this is in the same season that that I had the lowest level of joy in my life. And it was funny because when I talked to my wife about this, this is where the story gets interesting. You know how the last time when it came to the other pastoral roles, she cried. She was just super anxious about it. When I told her about this role, because I'm now anxious about it. I'm worried about it. I'm like, I don't know if this is what God's called me to do. I really don't. She sits there with the straightest face, and she says, I think you need to take that. And when I think about my wife, who is the biggest worry warrior ever, that right there is one of the craziest things that I could ever even imagine, is her being that calm and being like, yep, we're moving back to Fort Wayne. You need to take this position. And through that discernment, through abiding through my wife, through listening to the guidance of God through her, I have the opportunity to be here with you guys. And I get the joy to have these conversations with you. I get the joy to meet new young followers of Christ who are going to be the next ministers, the next leaders, the next doctors, the next whatever you do in the Amazon, you know, like, I get that opportunity because I finally decided to respond to God in obedience. And since then, I have had nothing but joy. I have been wealthy in other ways, and I'm starting to understand that the things that I'm storing up in heaven far outweigh the things that I could ever have down here. Now, the outcome, now here's the thing, here's the outcome, though, that could have happened if I continue to abide in myself and in my own strength. So I'm going to read James 5, 1 through 6, where it says, now listen, and it's talking about, he's addressing the wealthy, the people who have much. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming to you. Your wealth has rotted and moss have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. This is some like, James is getting some real intense detail here, right? You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself up in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. And as I read that, it's like, okay, what did we just read? And as I began to dissect the scripture during my quiet time, some things I picked up on is the fact that from worldly standards, it might work out. Like you might receive the wealth that the world has to offer. That may happen. But all you're left with is wealth that will rot and a heart that is rotten and unwilling to receive the plan that God has for you. Your wasted potential. And if there's a story that relates to this idea, Jesus used a lot of parables or stories to try to get his view across. Kind of like the stories of my life that I give you guys, Jesus gave specific stories to the people of his time to help them understand the message that's behind it. And so there's a parable in Luke 12 where I believe it's called The Rich Fool. But to help you kind of remember, I'm just doing my title, The Rich Farming Fool, because he was farming, okay? And he had this harvest, all right? Like if you were a farmer and you had a great harvest, you were the guy, okay? You were making the money. And this guy had an abundant harvest. And instead of using that as an opportunity to serve other people, he ends up actually knocking down all his old barns to rebuild larger barns so that he can store it all for himself. And not only store it up, but then once he stored it up, he would just live off that. He would be like, I'm going to sell that. I'm going to live off that money. I'm not going to do anything else. And again, wasted potential. And so here's how Jesus responds in this parable. It's in Luke 12, verses 20 through 21. You guys can feel free to put it down in your notes and take it to your devos. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. I want to encourage each and every one of you tonight that we can't hold too tightly onto things that disappear. We can't hoard things that we think will last, because we've learned throughout this week that any possession that we have in this world, it will not last. We cannot take it with us. So instead, ask yourself, what does it look like if from this day forward, I follow and abide in the signs that God is showing me for his plan and not mine? You aren't promised tomorrow, which is all the more reason I want to encourage you to live for God today. And to be honest, as I've given more control up in my life, I just wanted to share some other things that I'm glad that I'm not in control of. I'm glad that I wasn't in control of the doctor that helped my sick baby when she was in the NICU. I'm glad that it wasn't me. Because first off, I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to doctor. I don't know how to do that. So, Kay, when you become a doctor, teach me how to doctor, all right? Or if anything, I'm going to send my babies to you, okay? I don't know how to doctor. So I'm thankful that I don't have the control or the ownership of a doctor, all right? I'm happy that I did not become an engineer because math and science is hard. Okay, I'm glad that there's other engineers and other individuals who work on our planes and our cars. So then I don't have to understand it. I can just hop in the car, turn it on and drive. I can just get on the plane and let the pilot do all that. I'm not in control of that, all right? I'm happy that I don't have control or ownership as a president. Those decisions, no, I don't need those decisions, all right? That's stressful. That makes me anxious just thinking about all those decisions that the president has to make. I don't want to do it. I barely wanted to be a class president, let alone a real president, all right? And finally, I'm thankful that I don't have to take that my salvation does not come from me. Because if my salvation came from me, I would be just like I was back when I decided not to move in the way of God's plan. I would be lacking joy. I would be missing out on the things that God has for me. I never would have had the opportunity to meet all of you here. And so even today, I want to encourage each one of you that maybe some of you were like, oh, like I don't know if I wanted to come to camp this year. Could that be part of the plan that God had for you so that you could meet someone here, you could hear a word, you could hear the Lord in a way that encourages you so when you go back to your hometown, you can be a light for your family, you can be a light for your friends, and you can be a light that is fully prepared to execute the plan that God has for you. I want you to take comfort in knowing that when you follow God's plan, you can have the same peace I had as I took on this position. And so there's a couple benefits that I just want to share of God being in control, okay? The first one is he has supreme ownership. What does that mean? That means he owns everything, all right? Here's the thing that you guys are going to learn about ownership. If you want to own the good, you have to own the bad. And I hate to tell you, there's a lot of things in this world that will not go your way. And if you want to take full ownership of your life, then you're also going to own those moments that are super crappy. And I just want to encourage you that we are not called to bear that weight. That is too heavy. That is too heavy. Let God take ownership in your life. Secondly, his ways are greater than our ways. He is superior. And when you begin to believe that, when you begin to walk in that grace, that light, you will not only, one, start to see and have more clarity of your plan, but you're also going to have more clarity of God's character and why he should have ownership. And then finally, he actually has a plan. Like as much as we think that, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, all we know in this life, I know I was born October 17th, 1995, all right? Ooh, he's old. I get it, okay? Some of y'all thought I was 35. That's wild, okay? I just want that is wild. I appreciate those who thought I was 25, okay? But no, October 17th, 1995, I know when I was born, okay? And the thing that is certain, that the next certain thing that I know is I know that I will leave this world one day. I am not going to live forever in this life. What I do not know completely is I don't know that little dash mark in between. I know some things that have come and gone, but I don't know my future. But here's what I do know. I know that if I abide and obey in God, that whatever he does have planned for me will be good. It will be good. Because in Ephesians 11:1, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Remember when we learned earlier, every good and perfect gift comes from God. One of those gifts that he gave you is a blueprint to how you are to live your life. Embrace it. Even when the plan Even when we plan, even when we try to go against the plans of God, the cool thing about him is he will still redirect those things, those screw-ups, those times we miss the mark. He will find a way to redirect those opportunities for his benefit, for his good. So all those things that I went through, and again, I like to share my personal stories because I want you to understand that I empathize with some of the trials that you are going through. It was during those trials, it was during those times where I messed up, where I decided to go on my own, that God still was able to be kind enough to redirect me back to his steps. So nothing goes to waste. He doesn't waste anything. Maybe some of you are in here and you're thinking, man, I still don't understand this whole God thing. Am I wasting my time? You're not wasting your time. He doesn't waste any single second. He uses it. He uses every opportunity to find a way to make his presence known. Even if we don't see it at this time, he will reveal himself when the time is right. As we wrap up tonight, guys, and I just want to bring the worship team up here as we sing one more song. And if I can just encourage you guys after we pray, just to stand and to get back into a posture of praise. These guys work so hard on this music, and I just want to keep us in this posture of prayer. But I want to finish with this verse from Proverbs 3:6, where it says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." We've been talking about the challenging the authenticity and the genuineness of our faith. And I'm going to reinforce and continue to tell you that when you acknowledge God as your Savior, when you understand what Jesus did for you, that's when he can start to use you in the ways that has already been destined. And the joy begins when our expectations become God's expectations. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity to just be able to speak, Lord, and knowing where I was at and the plans that I redirected, Lord. Maybe some of these youth here, maybe they've redirected their plans. Maybe they're making decisions that aren't abiding or obeying in you, Lord. And Lord, I know, though, even in the midst of all that, you're still going to use it in a way that will produce good fruit. So let them acknowledge that, Lord, in all they do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.